7, ransomware. I've never heard of this topic before. I never heard that word before until Tateng and Clive put it on my desk and said, yeah, read this, bro. And it was scary for me. It was a very scary story. And I hear that the technical glitches that are associated with you not being able to buy electricity yesterday, if you live here in Johannesburg, had something to do with ransomware. And I'm besides myself with worry about the fact that this issue and the potential for destabilizing the economy, our country, in so many different ways hasn't been talked about as much as I would imagine it should be talked about. And maybe I'm completely out of my depth as far as this one is concerned, but to come and rescue me is the AVS Cybersecurity CEO, Charles Eukenman, and he's here with me in studio. Charles, thank you very much for coming, by the way. I really appreciate you coming through.
Yes, thanks for having me, Aubrey.
So before we even start the conversation about where the possibilities of the manifestation of ransomware could have taken place already in our country, except maybe what happened yesterday in the city or city power here in Johannesburg, what is ransomware? What's that all about?
Well, ransomware is just a piece of code. So just like you have Word and Excel and a PDF file and so on, that consists of code. And
Can you see the glaze look in my face?
Yeah, that's why I'm really trying to make it simple. So it is software that has got malicious intent.
Right.
Just like your body has got good cells and there are bad cells,
okay,
like cancer or whatever.
Okay.
So it's nothing else than a cancer cell, if
right,
I can call
right,
it that.
Right, right, right.
That is,
it's a technological malignancy.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right, okay.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's something that you don't want in your organization. And you need to try and prevent that in any form of way.
So that implies that there are people out there that are putting together this kind of software, or does it happen just naturally?
No. There are syndicates right around the world who actively plan this. So if you take ransomware and you take cyber crime in total, I mean, that's larger than total drug trafficking.
Really?
Globally. Yes, I mean, there's large amounts of money that are being compromised in the process. So, money that's been stolen. Have you heard some of your friends where they got SMSs and
yeah,
some of their money was stolen?
That's because they got money. Yeah? That's why they get their money stolen, because they got the stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. I mean, the cyber criminals also go for the money.
Yeah.
So they would target culprits, or they would target people where they think they can get some money out of the system. So it's something that is orchestrated.
Yeah.
It is well planned. It is targeted. It's nothing else than an act of terrorism.
It is nothing else than an act of terrorism. I've been a little bit reticent to use that word terrorism because it's got all sorts of meanings these days. But that's what it is. It's an act of terrorism.
Well, act of terrorism is obviously where it goes against the population. It goes against the best will of the people of a country. So ransomware is there to benefit a very few, couple of people. So it's not to the benefit to us as citizens in the country. So, yeah.
So help me understand. I mean, and I'm not sure whether it's a strategic move by city power here in Johannesburg to try and mute that conversation. But more and more information is coming out suggesting that what we saw yesterday, in fact, what happened, let me quickly tell you, Charles, I had a call from a listener out in Midrand, and I remember this call very well because he had a distinct accent, right? American, Canadian sort of accent, and said, listen, I'm trying to buy electricity. My electricity is running out. I can't. I'm trying to phone the people. Nobody's answering my calls. We tried to get a hold of the people at City Power. This was on Wednesday night, ain't that thing? Yeah? Wednesday night? Yeah, Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, the news broke that there is a technological problem with City Power. And then the story developed and, the spin doctors came and said, no, you don't have to worry about it and so forth. I remember my colleague Ray White was asking the questions to the representative from City Power. He was saying, no, you don't have to worry about anything. Citizens don't have to worry about anything. We're on top of this thing and so forth. And then later the stories started to trickle through to suggest that this was an act of terrorism where, what is that word that we're using?
Ransomware.
Ransomware was used. Talk to me about that particular case, because this is, I suppose, the freshest example of how ransomware can work, yeah?
Well, ransomware and all this malicious code is not something that's just suddenly in a network. There's quite a lot of phases for someone to go through. It is well orchestrated and planned. So a cyber criminal, whoever they are and what their agenda is, they will start off with a process where they just do reconnaissance. They will first scout the area, scout the environment, scout the target, and then so they will send mails. They will maybe go onto their website, and they will use.
So it's like a whole proper reconnaissance process.
It's a reconnaissance process where they will first investigate where the weaknesses are of that organization. So if it's a public-facing website, there are tools, software tools that you can run, and it will automatically identify for you what the weaknesses are. We call them vulnerabilities, but they are weaknesses within that website or that code. And then they will start a process where they start weaponizing their attack. So they would use an email with malicious content in again, with bad software in. Or they will download, or they will find an administrator's password. It is so easy. I mean, when we talk to organizations, it takes us about half an hour, and we can have about 20 to 30% of people's passwords, because we'll send them a mail. It looks like it's coming from the IT administrator. They click on the link. Meantime, they download code on their computer. And now we sort of start weaponizing it. And then you start downloading the software remotely,
It's a guy somewhere with his laptop, having a coffee at the Mug and Bean,
sitting in China, sitting in Australia, sitting wherever.
Really?
It doesn't have to be in South Africa. I mean, you can sit in the other side of the world and actually do this, because think about it. There's no internet boundaries.
I feel like a Neanderthal talking to you right now. I feel like a Neanderthal. I'm actually starting to actually have convulsions. Yeah. So you're saying to me that some guy in God knows where, in another continent somewhere, is able to hack into our city of Johannesburg. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but is able to hack into our city of Johannesburg's electricity supply system in China somewhere.
Yes. Yes, it's very possible, because there's no boundaries. Once you are onto the internet, so your computer systems are connected into the internet, the whole world is one connected network.
Internet is starting to really, and I'm starting to understand what you say when you say internet. It's a connection.
It's a connection. So when someone sends you a mail, for instance, there is just a unique address, just like you have a postal address. There's a unique address, and we call that an IP address. So when you go onto your internet banking, when you go into the city, Johannesburg City Power, and you say, go to Johannesburg City Power, this website, you basically type in a very unique IP address to say, go and fetch that information and display it onto my screen. So the point is, the pure fact that they are connected to the internet means that anyone in the world would be able to connect. I mean, you can sit in London and buy power in Johannesburg, right?
Yeah, pretty theoretically. I've never done it, but yeah, of course.
So,
yeah.
Or buy for your folks or your parents in Johannesburg and Soweto, buy them some power,
sure.
Because, so they've
so
got
the same meters. Principle.
Same
yeah.
principle. So, you know what? You can connect from anywhere. So, it's not, you know, and also when you see someone walking outside, you can count them and say, that guy looks like a criminal. Let me close him in. You can't see a cyber criminal.
That's why I'm saying to you that it's probably a nice looking guy ordering a coffee at the Mug and Bean.
Very possible.
Very nice guy, tips the waiters, says some nice things. And he's got a little, what do you call these things? These laptops.
Little computer.
Yeah, computer. And he's playing around with that. So let me tell you, I am as techno savvy as, I don't know, this piece of paper here. I still say to my producers, do not send me that thing on on computer. Just print it out for me so I can read it from a piece of paper. So I'm still a little bit backward.
Do you have a smartphone?
I do. I don't know where it is. I haven't seen it for a couple of days.
Oh, there we go.
So I think my 3-year-old son's got it. But no, honestly, I'm that guy. I'm that guy that wants to talk to you, see you. So I'm not really savvy as far as technology and that kind of thing is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I need to change. I know that it's not cool. So what would a cyber criminal of that nature be looking for when they are using this ransomware? Ransom for me already suggests that they are going to be asking for some sort of ransom. But what are they looking for? What do they want to do?
Well, there's no difference between ransomware and a hijack. They literally want to hijack your environment and want ransom from you in order to release your information back to you again. So they really want to hijack you. It's like your car or your whatever. They want to hijack your data. They want to hijack your organization, and you have to pay them to actually have that released. And hopefully they release all the information. They will not necessarily release all the information, even if you have paid the ransom. From that point.
Let me ask you, 702 Landers, and that would obviously include a lot of people living in the city, Johannesburg, and you were obviously affected by yesterday's breakdown in the city power system. Give me a call. Did you have any idea that it might have something to do with this kind of cybercrime? And how does it make you feel as you listen to this conversation between myself and Charles? Give me a call. And what are the implications? If they haven't, do you think this was a case of cyber crime or ransomware with what happened yesterday?
Well, that's what they said. I mean, they said it was a ransom attack. A ransom attack is cyber criminals. There's no doubt. Whether it was someone from the inside, whether it was someone from the outside with certain agendas, we don't know because they still need to communicate that through.
The potential damage is limitless.
Absolutely. I mean, think about the reputational damage. I mean, that's needless to say. So let's say someone entered credit card details on those websites. Your credit card could be compromised right now because they could have gained access to those databases where credit card details was loaded. They could have probably got access to banking details of all the debit orders that they take off for people that are paying the electricity. So we don't know yet. So
see, this is when it's good to be thick like me, isn't it? Because I like to stand in the queue, right?
Okay.
Take out my $50 and buy my electricity with my R50. Okay. That's what I like to do. I get a chance to speak to the people in the queue. We start a conversation. So the guys that are using their credit cards to buy electricity and that sort of, you're saying to me that information has now been compromised.
It could. It could be. We don't know.
Charles.
I don't know, but yeah? It's very, very possible. So if they, as I say, this doesn't happen overnight. This whole attack could have been planned a year ago, 18 months ago already. And during a very carefully processed, they downloaded certain code. They orchestrated a war against the city power because they believed that they could get money out of city power. But again,
suddenly I'm nostalgic about the days of machine guns and trucks. Hey, I mean, this sounds like it's a whole new world, a whole new world of criminal ability.
Well, same principle that you would use in a normal warfare, the same principles are used in cyber war as well. There's no difference. So from identifying how you want to attack, what is the methods of how you're going to go into, you can identify the weaknesses within the enemy or in this case whoever you want to attack. You're going to do exactly the same, but then just based on software, based on computer systems. So it's the same kind of methodology. There's absolutely no difference.
Is it possible to who's Ashley Madison? Somebody just sent me.
There was a compromise. It was this dating website, and a lot of people's information was compromised on this specific website. That's just one. I mean, there are many, many information. I mean, there was also a case of just recently also with Liberty, where they also
and
said,
apparently in that particular thing with Ashley Madison, 35 million people's information was compromised.
There we go. So whatever they typed into that website was compromised, whether it was their ID numbers, whether it was their credit card details, whether it was their personal profiles, everything was exposed to the whoever wanted to make use of it or to blackmail someone, because you could have probably bought that that information and then maybe, oh, this is interesting that you know about this person, and then blackmail that person. It's financial gain. I mean, that's the objective.
What I'm beginning to hear you say, and you're not saying that, but I'm hearing that this could have been something that was planned over a very long time, right? Is there a scenario in this whole equation where what we saw yesterday was that syndicate showing how serious they are, but they already have that information? In other words, they already have the information, the credit card information of so-and-so, and we might be under the impression that only when we had what happened yesterday was when the real weakness in the system was shown. But maybe this is simply just to show the city power that, listen, we're serious. We actually have you by the short and girlies.
Well, this is obviously an extreme case. Not everyone gets ransomed. Most often, people will steal that information and basically use it to their advantage. In the case where it's really ransom, the ransom sort of attacks have tapered down a bit. It was quite big last year.
Really?
Yes, it was quite big last year.
Yeah, in South Africa?
Everywhere in the world, right across the world. And people then had to pay via bitcoins. And the reason why they had to pay by bitcoins is because it's not traceable. If you deposit money into my bank account, it's traceable, and I can come and, you know, the authorities can come and catch you.
It sounds like a movie, eh?
Yeah, so I mean, they paid via bitcoins. The problem also with cybercrime, just to maybe elaborate a bit on that, and the bitcoins and the payment and sitting anywhere in the world, is it's incredibly difficult to catch a cyber criminal. So imagine someone commits a crime against city power sitting in China.
Aruba.
How do you arrest that person? So you first have to go through all these bilateral agreements through Europol, through whoever, and really that to get all those wheels turning can take forever.
You're suggesting to me that the global political system as it is not sophisticated enough to deal with the nimbleness of cybercrime?
Not at the kind of pace that one would like it. There is lots of monitors, and Europol have got dedicated divisions that only focus on cybercrime. But obviously they're going to look at the priorities in terms of what's happening in Europe. But if something happens to you in South Africa, and it was someone that orchestrated that in Europe, it's going to be quite a bit of a lengthy exercise to go through. So
I hate to really stay with the city power example, but I feel compelled to, because it's a real case. South Africans were really affected, and the possibility of people's very private information has been exposed and compromised in the way that you've described is a real possibility, right? It's real. It's not a virtual idea, something that we can sit and debate. This is real stuff, right? What are the implications of what happened yesterday?
Well, the implications on individuals are that they may have been exposed without knowing it. So the kind of information that they held of our citizens in Johannesburg could be somewhere in the world and being sold. So a syndicate could have got access to that information and basically go into the dark web. This is not our normal internet. That's like the internet which is like the bad internet.
It's like the scaly internet.
It's like the underworld.
Yeah.
The underworld internet. And that information could have been sold right now to someone in Australia.
To do what with?
Well, to exploit, because they now have your credit card details and they may do an online transaction using your credit card information.
Got to reveal to you, I don't have a credit card.
Okay, very good. You're safe, man.
This feels so good.
You're a cash guy.
I'm a cash guy. I want to stand in the queue. I don't like this whole story about people losing their jobs because computers. I have all sorts of ideas about the Terminator starting to happen in our lifetime. You know, the Terminator, the movie?
Yes.
That's the stuff that creeps into my mind when people start talking about cyber crime. I start thinking maybe there's a guy that's going to come walking into the studio naked and he's got like steel inside of his muscle. Anyway, that's just me. I don't have a credit card. I like to stand in the queue. I like to pay cash.
You don't have a bank card?
I do have, but it's like a debit card for people that have debt. Like,
okay. Normal debit card. Yep.
You know those people that have been blacklisted? I'm one of them. So I can't get a credit card. I can't get any of that stuff, which for the first time feels like it's a good thing. So what do you say to the people of Johannesburg that have gone through what has happened yesterday? What do you say to them now?
Well, I think they need to be vigilant be more vigilant in terms of their bank transactions, to look at those financial statements probably with a bit of a closer eye. Remember, the cyber criminals are going to go where the big money is.
Yeah.
So if it's just someone earning 500 rand a month, they'll probably not, you know, go through all the effort. But if someone earning 20, 40,000 rand a month, it's worthwhile the effort. So I think just be more vigilant in terms of what kind of transactions. When you get those SMSs, just be okay. Aware of it. And if you get something that is funny, if you get once something that's funny, then, you know, sort of start.
What does that mean?
That could be suddenly there's a transaction, an online transaction, which has been declined because you had to enter your OTP, you know, you get your SMS to say, okay, enter this number. You got something like that. It means that your credit card may have been used. The transaction may not have gone through because you've got that one-time password that you had to enter, but that could be an indicator that your credit card.
However innocent it may look or feel, you need to be almost paranoid about stuff that's happening in your bank details, in your bank activity. You need to get paranoid almost.
I think so. I think be vigilant. Be paranoid about it. Yeah, I agree. I would say so.
It's actually quite scary. It's actually very, very, very scary. So because, you know, I mean, you're saying people should be a little bit more vigilant, but I'm almost sure that there are a lot of people listening now not sure what they need to be vigilant about. You've probably heard about the 99 Rand scam that's happening. People have been screaming and shouting about that for such a long time that they've become numb. They know that 99 Rand is going to be stolen out of their banks. They've become numb. You saying don't become numb?
No, you know, it's hard to earn cash.
Yeah.
You know, you work hard for it. And, I mean, if we allow it and we're not vigilant about it, I mean, we're basically feeding these guys, you know, to actually go to more steps to actually start stealing from people, because that's what
sure.
It is.
I'm worried about time. So now I see something funny, as you've described. What do I do? Do I go to the bank and shut down my account? What do I do?
I would immediately, inquire with the bank, you know, and ask them, you know, what's this about? Let them do the investigation. They also have a lot of cyber tools, which means that they can track where it came from. Oh, it came from a shop in Cape Town. It came from that specific shop. So they also have their forensic guys investigated. And if they suspect that this was a compromise, that card was compromised, they'll probably suggest to you that, like, you know, let's rather close this specific credit card and reissue with a new one. So, yes, absolutely make contact with your bank and inquire about it.
What do you advise the city of Joburg to do in this instance?
Well,
I'll let you invoice them.
Well, I am quite sure they have got all their guys on the job already to try and identify what risks they do have. The point is, the cyber criminals have gone through like 6-7 stages, where I would say they have not had the required monitoring tools in place in order to be more proactive to guard themselves against cybercrime. They may have had endpoint security or antivirus. They may have all the firewalls, and I'm quite sure they've spent millions of rands on all these things. but it's quite clear. It's just like an armed response, an alarm system and armed response. It's quite clear that alarm bells did not go off much earlier in the cycle.
Do you think it might be something from inside?
I can't say. I mean, the likelihood of that being inside is again, they'll have to trace back. They'll have to trace back where it came from and how the guys actually got access into the information. What was the kind of viruses they used? The same with a health breakout. They need to look at what kind of strain of viruses the guys received.
That kind of detail.
Yes, that kind of detail. They really have to go into there and try and trace back how it, you know, where it came from, that whole attack life cycle that they
were. Charles Eukerman, we have to stop because we run out of time, but this is a conversation we need to have again.
More than happy.
I really, really would like to have this conversation again, and I think that it's something that we need to be a lot more aware of as South Africans. I got a feeling that we don't know that there's this world out there. Listen, we've got to take a break. Charles Eukerman, CEO at AVS Cybersecurity, letting us know what this whole ransomware story is about. Let's take a